Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where two old guys, one rather young lady, and one radiant new mother talk about games we played like a long time ago.
Like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Or longer.
Or more recent. We're running the full gamut today. But today, since it's Wednesday, Original Flavor Wednesday, we are talking about IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games. And we have finally crested after a year and three quarters.
Yeah, almost 2 years. Let's just say 2 years.
To the 2 years rounded up.
Yeah.
To the top 10. So number 10. And I'm working on enunciating 10 with the E.
Yeah.
Because I do that whenever I can see Nicole in my peripheral vision.
Does she cringe?
She's very
cringing when you say 10. I also say 10.
10 instead of 10.
I say 10 and I say pen. Nikki gives me crap about pen, but she says pillow. So what are you going to do about that?
Number 10, Super Mario RPG, The Legend of the Seven Stars.
It seems like a lot of. Seems like a lot of stars.
It's a lot. I mean, it's seven of them.
Lucky number, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's a divine number, Megan.
It is.
Why?
Because the world was created in 7 days, the universe.
That's the only... Like, is there any other significance?
In seven?
No.
You get three of them in a slot machine, you win a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
As the Lord saith,
is that, uh-huh.
If
how God
you get
designed
three
it?
Sevens on a slot machine, that is... A lot.
Is that money. Is that in the Bible or is that just Catholic dogma?
it's apocryphal.
Okay.
Apocryphal.
I don't know what that means.
I just said
it
okay.
Does,
and
it
not
does a... sound pretty apocryphal. That's what I thought. I'm your bearded host, Tyler. And I guess if you don't know who the rather young lady and the radiant new mother are, that is Nicole Nance of Kirby fame.
Hey, Nicole.
Hi.
There you go. let's go get that first word out and we get it rolling. And Meg Holland of Mananpog, Manpog?
Yeah.
What would your fame be?
Manpog fame, maybe.
Harvest Moon.
Harvest Moon. SimCity.
Yeah. Kirby's Avalanche.
Right.
But then you're treading on Nicole's territory.
Yeah, all things Kirby. Except for Kirby's Avalanche.
Oops. Okay. Everything else then. All those other things.
Everything not Kirby fame.
Right.
But I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and... I had a good intro story and forgot it. So I'm having to go with backup intro story once I get this timer going so we can know exactly how much over we're going and boring everybody. Okay. Well, this is another, it'll be a Gatsby-related tale. And I'm from the perspective of the observer and instigator as opposed to being an active participant.
You were definitely an observer when she was getting finger blasted.
Yeah. So this is about Good Time Gatsby again.
I kind of figured all these stories like might revolve around her because she probably had the most outlandish things happen around her.
I have plenty about all three.
Oh, you're being kind to two of them?
Yes.
Okay.
But let's see, because I told a story a long time ago about a friend of mine who, like, where I held the pornography up behind me.
Yes, and he's jerking off behind you.
Yeah, right. It's that friend. That friend had, what should we call him?
Jerk it boy.
Jerk it Jeff.
Jerk it Jeff. Yeah.
Nicole Grimace. I don't know if she's like jerk it or she hates the name Jeff.
Which is it?
I think it's a combination.
My Monday jerk it.
But Jerk it Jeff, he and Good Time Gatsby had a strange, like flirty and angry relationship.
He was not the football player that you talked about last time.
No, no, no.
Okay.
No. He, like, they never actually, like, went out, but they just had this weird, like, semi-tension, like always. And it was always like flirty, but then they'd get like angry at each other over it.
Like a Rachel Ross kind of thing, or more like a Sam Diane?
More like a Sam Diane.
Okay, all right.
With Good Time Gatsby being Sam.
Good Time Gatsby being Sam. Okay, gotcha. Nicole, catching these references?
Okay. Do you know who Sam and Diane are?
No.
Sam and Diane.
No.
The more you say it, I don't think she's going to realize.
Everybody knows your name. Bum, bum, bum. Is that ringing?
I wouldn't even know what you were talking about if that was
my No, that was good. No, that was good. I knew what you were talking about. Okay, before Princess Di married into the royal family, she dated a dude named Sam.
Sam being the killer, son of Sam.
Right. Everything makes sense now.
No. I think you even have one of these on DVD. It's Cheers.
I've never
Cheers seen. Cheers is a sitcom.
I've never seen Cheers.
Mm, it's pretty good.
Ooh, it
it's not.
Good.
It's not that great.
Have you heard of Frasier?
I have seen a few episodes of Frasier.
It's the prequel.
Yeah. No, Cheers is excellent. You might not enjoy it because I don't think that it aged super well.
It's one of those sitcoms.
It did not age super well. You're right.
But it's one of those sitcoms, like, once you watch it long enough, then you'll, like, adjust to it and then enjoy it.
That's
like,
true.
You'll lower your standards.
Exactly. You'll float back to that time period and, like, go along with the laugh track, and it just all of a sudden it just works.
You're like, this show is convenient and right here.
Yep.
I can watch this.
I don't have to get up.
I can watch this for 5 hours. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
Because just either or not, I downloaded the entire series. So I'm about to start that.
I feel like Frasier is the same way because I watched Frasier after, like, years after it aired. So I felt like watching it was just kind of like, okay, I have to adjust to how comedy television was when this came out.
I mean, I'd seen all of Frasier before I saw an episode of Cheers.
That's weird.
So it was really weird. It's really weird. Like, he's with Lilith? Yeah. What the hell is going on?
So that Christmas episode was really weird, huh?
Really? You've
really,
never seen
it? Really? Honest? I didn't know Frasier was a spinoff.
Wow. I was raised on situation comedies, though, so.
I think we all were.
It was like mother's milk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was.
That and Saturday morning cartoons. And Dumbo Circus on Sunday mornings.
Ugh. All right, but Drake and Jeff and Good Time Gatsby.
Oh, we're not done with the story?
No,
I thought we read it on a Cheers note.
Well, one time he'd asked me to come over. And I was like, okay,
Drake
and Jeff. Drake and Jeff asked me to come over. But he also asked Good Time Gatsby. So I was like, that's weird. I guess he just doesn't want anybody to think that something's going to happen. So I'm like a weird modern day chaperone.
He doesn't want people to think that you're going to just hold pornography up for him while he jerks it. Invite a girl so things don't look weird.
Well, at the time, I was really, really into Pokemon Blue.
Okay. Not red.
Not red.
At all.
Red. I was a blue man.
Okay.
And I remember going over there and sitting in like, going to his room and sitting in a chair like in front of the window, just playing Pokemon Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And like he and Good Time Gatsby are like talking and laughing and flirting. And meanwhile, I'm fucking in the Safari Zone trying to get that fucking Tauros. And it's so frustrating because the fucking Safari Zone is awful.
Awful. I thought the whole game was awful.
Well, Safari Zone, doubly awful.
Really bad. Okay.
But I remember, like, they're, like, doing, like, flirting. They start, like, wrestling. And I could just see it out of the corner of my eye, but I'm way more into Pokemon Blue.
Sure.
And then at some point, he starts blowing raspberries on her stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a little weird. She's not, like...
A baby?
Yeah, was she 3 years old at the time?
I mean, she is very short, but she was an adult.
I mean, she was wearing a diaper and had a bonnet on, but no, she was not a baby.
I remember, like, I heard it, like, 3 or 4 times. And then at this point, then he finally... The frequent raspberries distract me enough from Pokemon Blue. Then I look up. And I look up at just the right moment to where what he's been doing is progressively giving the raspberries higher and higher and higher on her belly.
Higher?
Yeah, he starts off like below her belly button.
Trying to get to her boobies.
And then goes above her belly button.
That seems like the reverse order.
We were in high school. Our goals were completely different. So until finally, when I happen to look up that last time, he flips up her shirt and her bra and blows raspberries right on her boob. And I remember, like, Pokemon Blue, look up. There's a boob. She screams bloody murder, pulls it back down, and he's laughing, and she's kind of pissed off.
Yes, She just got violated.
But the only thing I vividly remember, strangely enough, is just like on her boob, she had a like a very large and distinct mole. And as soon as like she screamed and that put was, her shirt down.
They call those nipples, Tyler.
I could go into that, but it was a mole. I remember, and I said like, not nice mole. And for some reason, that's what embarrassed her more than anything else. Raspberry on her boob being pulled up and violated. Nope. Me saying, I noticed that mole.
You should get that checked out.
Well, okay.
That looked dangerous.
So did you actually think it was a nice mole?
No, I just wanted her to recognize I saw it.
That's probably why she felt embarrassed.
You were being a jerk.
I'm the jerk.
You were being jerkish about a moment that she was really already going to be embarrassed
well,
about.
Well, see, the thing is, like...
The gentlemanly thing would have been like, just ignore it.
Just store that away for masturbation later pretend like you didn't see anything.
They had this thing going on forever where he would, like, she would come over and get herself, and they would be in a position to do that, and he would do something, and she would respond angrily, but then do it all over again. Because I remember one argument that they had where, like, they were flirting, and they were, like, almost kiss, but not kiss, and, like, touch each other but not go anywhere with it, and it eventually would get angrier and angrier until one time I know this is weird.
I'm kind of like nervous as to what you're gonna say next.
And we're sitting there and he was just like, I should just finger blast you. And she just looks at him.
She's like, that happened to me once already.
She looks at
with
like,
this guy in the room. Never again. Never.
I guess I was just the observer. And she's like, no. And he's like, fine. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll just do it. And she's like, fine. If you're going to do it then.
What?
And they just get back in this angry banter back and forth. And then that's when like, it's me and some, I don't think it was Josh, but it was me and another friend, and then we just leave and just let them yell at each other for a while until she just finally just goes home. So, but their relationship was like that for about like 10 years.
The moral of the story is always play Game Gear, because good things happen when you play Game Gear.
Yep.
When you play Game Boy, weird shit like that happens.
When you play Game Gear, as long as you have it plugged into the wall, the colors distract you and you don't see anything.
Man,
I never made that connection that I've seen her molested twice while playing portable handheld games. Video mm-hmm. games.
Well, now we know.
Oh, man. Can we hear a different intro story? Dave, what you got?
I didn't want to prepare an intro story. So I brought these. When I was in St. Louis with Lord Dennis, we saw these in a convenience store and had to buy them. These are... wrap snacks. They have 0 grams trans fat. I have wrap snacks cheese curls featuring Young Jock on the front.
Oh my God.
There is a inspirational message that says, reading is fundamental. These are honeydew flavored. I'd never had a honeydew flavored.
That sounds Japanese
snack.
Really?
So I figured that I would share. I'd bring these and share.
Oh man, can I read this one?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the other bag he has is wrap snacks, potato chips, featuring a African American youth named Romeo.
He was Lil Romeo, but he dropped the Lil when he became big.
Is that the guy?
I don't think that's the guy. I think Romeo was just like used a lot.
I
think that's him?
I'm pretty sure that's Lil Romeo who becomes Romeo.
He okay. looks pretty
when
little,
when he's a big
though.
Boy, he's like, I'm not little no more.
He looks like a child, though.
Anyway.
Doesn't he?
No, he's not a child.
Oh, okay.
He's like a youth.
I'm an old guy.
An adolescent.
Nicole, you want to try a
honeydew? The inspirational message set underneath him says, stay in school. And the flavor of chip is barbecuing with my honey.
I think you should open that
flavored
up.
Flavored chips. Oh, I don't like barbecue potato chips, though.
I like the messages.
Blech.
They're really good messages.
The messages seem kind of
what is the
strange.
Message?
It says, what is reading that is fundamental, and that one says stay in school.
Stay in school.
They seem a little tacked on, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, they don't go over with the rest of the packaging or anything.
I'll try that one, honeydew.
Oops, so sorry. is it honeydew flavored cheese curl? Because that seems also tacked on.
The honey barbecue's not bad.
It is sort of like
nothing special.
Vaguely sweet.
They do make me want to stay in school, though.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go back to school.
No, the barbecuing with my honey kind of reminds me of Grippo's a little bit.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's like a...
Nicole, did you get some of these?
Cheeto?
Yeah. Okay.
That would be a good joke to play on somebody. Just like set them out and pretend they're Cheetos. Get a whole bunch of people to pretend you're eating Cheetos, and then the one person doesn't know.
That's like something we should do, Zach, this weekend.
Guys, I think these Cheetos are bad.
Oh man, these are best Cheetos I've ever had.
Got a weird, they've got a really weird aftertaste, you guys. Really weird.
The barbecuing with my honey is definitely better.
All right, yeah, Meg.
The honey is just weird.
What kind of beard would you give barbecuing with my honey rap snacks?
I would give that a beard of fire and brimstone because I hate barbecue potato chips.
Okay. Or it could be they're really spicy.
No, it's because I hate them. Because it's like I hate it with the fires of damnation.
Maybe you'll like these.
Nope.
Why don't you like barbecue chips? I'm just curious. Just never have, or is
it? I never have. It's one of my least favorite foods. It's barbecue potato chips and olives.
Green or black or both?
Doesn't matter. Don't like olives. Don't like barbecue potato chips.
I'm trying to think of an instance where those two things might have been combined together.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yep. Nicole, if you were to give Honeydew Curls a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses would you give them?
I'd give them some of those wrapper glasses that look like dollar signs, but like the really cheap ones that are going to fall apart.
That's pretty good impromptu glasses.
Yeah,
that was really good.
So that's it for me. I'm Dave.
You guys have any stories?
We made them eat chips, so I feel like you're excused if you want.
I had already decided I was going to say this, but going back to my not being up with the 90s TV and movies, this tonight before I came over, I watched a movie that I'd never seen before, which I've seen a lot of movies, but I watched Wayne's World for the first time.
For the first time?
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
What did you think of Wayne's World?
She loved it.
I can tell.
She's still tasting the honeydew. That sweet, sweet honeydew flavor.
Yeah, please don't let the honeydew influence your feelings about Wayne's World.
I think there was one moment when I smiled.
Oh. That's pretty good for Nicole. That's pretty good.
Well, let me say that. Can I say this? I watched Wayne's World recently. It was not nearly as funny as it was when I was 13 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say, when we were kids, it was really,
really
funny.
Really
have
funny.
You ever seen the skit on SNL?
No.
Okay.
There were some parts that I thought were moderately smart humor, but I thought it was really interesting because there's in Indiana,
mm-hmm.
but it is so thoroughly Canadian because there's
they're in Illinois.
Illinois, Indiana.
Okay. Same thing. Same thing.
They're both pretty far from Canada.
Yeah, you're right. It is Illinois.
It is so Canadian because they're like playing hockey and they're always in the donut shop and... Well, what cued me in, I was like, his accent sounds Canadian. Is it because he's Canadian or is it because of the accent that he's trying to do it?
Mike Myers is Canadian.
I looked
Canadian.
It up and he is indeed Canadian. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing was very Canadian.
They should have just had it take place in Toronto.
Yeah.
Because I've never been to Toronto, but I just imagined a magical place.
Because does it take place in, is it Peoria, Illinois? Where are they in
Aurora.
Illinois? Aurora. That's right. Yeah, Aurora.
Did you laugh at the part where Ed O'Neill talks about stabbing a man?
No.
In the snow.
That's the best part. I love that part.
But now you get the Bohemian Rhapsody references in pop culture when they do Bohemian Rhapsody.
I mean, I don't know. I knew the song before that. So.
That's how I was introduced to the song.
Oh, I mean,
almost everybody. Yeah.
But now you get to watch Wayne's World 2.
Don't do that. I wouldn't do that. What you should do, have you ever seen Tommy Boy? You've seen what do you think of Tommy Boy?
Oh, yeah.
I liked it at the time, but it's been a long time since I watched it.
Tommy Boy holds
it
up,
holds
y'all.
Up.
Tommy Boy straight up holds up. Because I saw
totally
it.
I totally agree.
I saw it recently, and I was laughing uncontrollably. Still funny.
Not so much here or here, but right through here.
I was so sad. It made me sad all over again that Chris Farley's dead and that David Spade just kind of is obscure now.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Chris Farley because the other day I saw...
Chris Farley, his ghost.
I did see Chris Farley. Someone had posted the pictures of how he was found, how they found him when they found him dead in the hotel
room. No thanks.
Tyler, you just it ruined it.
Awful. It was,
oh, I bet. No.
I mean, like, even like, I think it was on RWTF. Uh-uh. And even they had like several like explicit uh-uh. lines on it. It was.
I can't do that shit.
It's the only thing I've really seen on there that I really wish I hadn't
What's
seen.
The name of that site?
I am not providing a link in the show notes.
Well, there's a site, right, that has like all the. Like celebrity autopsy stuff.
That's awful.
I can't remember what it's called, but like they've got, I know links have been posted to like Marilyn Monroe's and stuff like that. I won't look at any of them just because I don't like looking at dead people.
Those people.
I don't like looking at dead people.
Disrespectful ne'er do wells.
The dead people?
Burn.
No, the people.
Man,
that
Meg, tell us how you really feel.
What's worse?
I said it.
Those people are barbecue chips.
Those people.
Holy shit.
I mean, I hate barbecue chips, but I have perspective.
Apparently, you don't hate them a whole lot.
I mean, I don't like them.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad we've established that.
But now that Megha said how she really feels, uh-huh. I will not ask you to try and remember that website because I was not really interested in looking.
I'll think of it. I'll let you know. It might be like in the very middle of the show. Or someone will probably post it in the right. Facebook comments. Yep. So we'll be all
there
right.
There you go. Thanks, Tony, ahead of time.
People who post them are ne'er-do-wells. People that look at them are, I guess, ne'er-do-well adjacent.
Ne'er-do-well adjacent.
Horribly morbid. I'm okay with that.
Maybe not horribly. Just morbid.
Averagely morbid. Yeah.
You said David Spade was obscure, but isn't there a new Joe Dirt movie coming out?
What?
I heard that Joe Dirt 2 is coming out, like, direct to cable, right?
I don't know. Like that. I don't know the details.
Yuck.
I've never seen that.
It might be direct to streaming. I never seen Joe
Granted,
Dirt.
Granted, I mean, yeah, I was a big fan of him on Just Shoot Me.
Oh, I love David Spade. Yeah. Like, his stand-up, I remember, as a kid, was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I really do like David Spade. I'm sad that he's not in more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a funny dude. He had a great bit about going to a concert.
He was on, like, a CBS sitcom, The Rules of Engagement.
Yeah.
I think the shows he's been, besides Just Shoot Me, have been, like, pretty bad, right?
Yeah. Well, his big thing on SNL was Hollywood Minute.
Yeah.
Where he would skewer celebrities. I remember Comedy Central, like 15 years after the fact, turned it into a show that he, like, it was like a talk show where he would do that for like 30 minutes. Lasted, I don't even think it lasted a season before it got canceled.
He and Chris Farley were like the Parham and Palham of SNL.
Way to bring it back home.
Video games.
Yeah, we should probably talk about
Super Mario RPG. Dave, did you hear that?
It's raining. Oh, what's up with the rap snacks?
It's
what's Lil Romeo? Are you okay?
it's the train that delivers all the delicious rap snacks that keep kids in school. Also known as.
No, I brought those. Do I own that train?
I think so.
You're
pretty pro kid staying in school. I've always said that about you.
I am. It's on my Twitter profile. It's like the top thing says, stay in school, read all that you can, and only eat corn snacks that are endorsed by obscure rappers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's Lil Romeo on that package.
I want some Young Jeezy snacks.
What would those taste like?
Jeez.
But not aged. It sounds like the Dave Reads from Wikipedia train.
Yeah. There we go. All
right, guys. Super Mario RPG, or as it's known in Japan, Super Mario RPG.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You've watched a lot of Gremlins lately.
Subtitled Legend of the Seven Stars in the North American release, we got an extra little bit of name, which is pretty rare. I'm pretty happy about that. It is an action role-playing game developed by Square and published by Nintendo for the Super Famicom and Super Nintendo. It came out in 1996, and it was also re-released on the Wii's Virtual Console. The game contains token similarities to other Square role-playing video games, such as the Final Fantasy series, with a story and action-based gameplay derived from the Super Mario Brothers series. And then there's stuff about the story that I'm sure we'll get to.
Mm-hmm. So you ready to give through just a super detailed bit-by-bit walkthrough of this game?
I feel like you could do that pretty easy because the game's pretty linear.
Yeah, you're very, very correct.
And not very long. I'm playing it right now. I played it when I was... a freshman in high school, thoroughly did not enjoy it. There's a little backstory to that. I rented it from Blockbuster and took it over to a friend's house to play it. And I was super rushed to try to finish the game before I had to return it. So I had the weekend. I remember renting it after I got out of school on Friday and had to return it Sunday. I think they were like Sunday at 8 or something like that. I can't remember. And I did it. And I was miserable the entire time because, first of all, I don't know why I didn't play it at my house. Well, actually, I do know why I didn't play it at my house because my parents would have been furious if I would have played a video game from Friday to Sunday. So I just stayed at my friend's house. His older sister would come in from time to time and check on me, but I was okay.
Somebody go turn Dave over. Okay,
he's got bed sores again. So by the time I got through with it, I really did not like this game.
No, I mean, given that circumstance, I understand. Renting Super Nintendo games, especially RPGs, was awful.
Yeah, I knew if I returned it, then my save file was, I mean, it was just gone. You just forget about it. Like, even if someone didn't override it, they would just delete it to be a dick.
Yeah, I've never, ever gotten a game back, an RPG, and had the same record. No.
And I didn't have the money to buy it, because it was new when I rented it. So it was like, well, it's now or never. Mm. Unfortunately, I had no idea that way in the future I was going to be doing a podcast about games, and I have the perfect opportunity to play this game again for not a whole lot of money. I make a lot more money now than I did when I didn't have a job. So,
but I as a kid, I loved this game. This is one of my favorite games as a kid. So much so that I know Josh and I both loved it so much we had to make our significant others play through it. So when they played through it again, I don't feel like the nostalgia was like the overriding factor. Granted, it's not as good as I remember it, but I still enjoyed it.
It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
It is a funny game. Then I actually didn't understand that I didn't get the jokes, I guess, when I played it the first time. Because I might not have read all the dialogue when I was trying to rush through this game.
Okay.
I'm playing it again. Now, and I'm probably about halfway through the game. I actually really enjoy it this time around, which kind of makes me feel like a hypocrite because I have railed against this game in the past. Because I just thought, like, out of all the RPGs on this list, especially, like, I remember seeing this list for the first time and being like, I can't believe this isn't the top 10. I still kind of think that is a little weird. But
I don't think it's better than Earthbound, but I'm super biased.
It has a lot of similarities to Earthbound. It's a funny game, and Earthbound's a funny game. You can see the enemies and either engage them or avoid them. So they've got that similarity too. And I think what's really weird is this came out, I think, maybe just 2 years after Earthbound, and it looks completely different.
I was blown away by the graphics whenever I first put this cartridge in. Like, I remember my eyes, like my jaw dropped, my eyes popped out. Like, I thought this game was like,
you turned into a cartoon wolf.
I did.
Ooga.
Thank you, man.
I thought this was unreal the first time I saw it. Like you thought that one time, like, it does not get
any it doesn't get better than this. I didn't like how it looked, and I kind of still don't like how it looks. Because it's an isometric view. So everything's
on a diagonal.
Right.
Yeah.
So everything's like rendered in 3D. And I mean, it looks fine. It just looks, it's definitely harkens to that, like, hey, we're thinking about the N64 and things are going to start looking more like this and less like what you're used to.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's kind of the stick in my paw about that. It's pretty cartoony, especially compared to like even Super Mario World. It's super cartoony, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Nicole, while we wanted you on this episode, be our opposing viewpoint.
I was gonna say, you want me to advocate for the unpopular opinion?
I was really hoping that I expected to 100% be on your side. So I actually feel like a Benedict Arnold because like I was really excited. I was like, there's going to be someone else on the show who also doesn't like this game.
Yeah, no, I hated it.
You absolutely hate you it. Just straight yes, hated it. It's why?
Awful.
You were very miserable. Like
I was
the whole time you were trying to play it.
It was really, really terrible.
What didn't you like about it?
Everything.
Okay. All right.
I don't think that I can say one positive thing except for I liked the ending because I liked that you got to see like all the characters mm-hmm. at the end. But like otherwise, I have nothing positive to say.
What about Mallow? What about sweet Mallow? Who thought he was a frog and clearly he wasn't. Clearly. Yeah.
What do you think about Mallow?
It was so funny.
There's not a lot of morbid humor in Mario. So no, not really.
No autopsy hit.
You unlock that, I think. There's an achievement.
No, I didn't like anything about it.
A lot of your technical complaints, though, like I can agree with a lot of them because it's a good mix of trying to do like the platforming of Mario and with a lot of RPG elements.
Well, it's a mix.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'd say it's a good mix.
Well, yeah, it's the platform elements that really suffer.
Yeah.
In that it looks like, okay, you see your enemies, and you should be able to avoid your enemies, but it is very, very difficult to avoid your enemies.
Well, and I know...
And you feel like you should be able to.
A lot of the, besides avoiding enemies, just the regular straight up platforming is pretty bad. Like, especially when you have to jump on a diagonal. Like, if you can jump in like one of the cardinal directions, it's pretty much okay. But like, if something's like catty corner, I mean, you're probably gonna be making that jump like 5 times before you get it.
It's mm-hmm. very annoying.
A lot of jumps like that, when you miss it, you have to do a battle and then like climb all the way up on something again. And I can see where it's frustrating with a lot. In a lot of parts like that where you feel like you should be getting through to the end, but you're having to fight like the same battle 5 or 6 times.
You mentioned Mallow, and I wanted to say that I didn't know that Mallow was a cloud until this time playing the game. I didn't know what the fuck he was. I had no idea.
You just believed him when he said he was a frog.
I didn't really, but I didn't know what he was. And it was...
a weird looking frog.
This guy. I don't understand. I guess. I mean, I haven't lived very long. Maybe they're frogs like this.
See, and I do feel like... I love Mallow and Geno. I think they are fantastic characters that are just buried in the vault somewhere. Like, you'd never see them again. You never hear them mentioned again.
Mallow, maybe, but Geno.
Oh, man. I love Geno.
Tell me, what's his story?
Well, Geno is...
He's a doll.
Well, he's a star from Star Road. He's basically an angel who comes down from Star Road to help Mario. He doesn't have a physical body, so he inhabits the body of a doll mm-hmm. to help.
What else?
He doesn't understand how the world works, so he has the... strange observations about how people act. I enjoy his power set a lot. He technically is the most powerful character in the game because he has that, I can't do it, I've seen it done, but you can charge one of his laser, like all his weapons have to do with like, he can use the doll like weaponry, like fire his fist off or use like a machine gun or mm-hmm. his laser gun. And like
his finger blast.
Mm-hmm. His Geno beam, if you charge it up like just right, can do all 9s.
We should talk about that in the battle system, that everybody has like special moves and ways that you can maximize damage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the battle system is actually something I even enjoyed the first time when I played it, because there's a real interactive element to it that you don't see in a lot of RPGs.
Right.
I still want to do it. I still do it on various RPGs because I want to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And it's like I haven't seen it really. You've played more RPGs than me, but I don't think I've seen it anywhere else except for like Squall's Gunblade in Final Fantasy VIII.
The only other game I can think that was constantly interactive RPG like this was Shadow Hearts for PlayStation 2 because it had this circular clock kind of system where you would time your hits whenever you would. It was a constantly interactive battle system.
That's cool. I like that because in other RPGs that I actually really like, sometimes combat's not super involved, mm-hmm. especially when you're fighting the same enemies over and over again. I think it's easy to like just, I mean, and when you over level, where it's just like, well, I can just hit attack and everything's going to be, I mean, I can just spam this one button and navigate through the dungeon and everything will be fine.
Yeah, so in Super Mario RPG, you're timing your attack. You're pressing an extra button during your attack move in order to.
So right before it hits, you can increase the damage. Right before you're hit, you can hit the button to defend yourself and take less damage.
And I like the added benefit of it kind of awards you for melee attacks. Because when you do a timed hit on a melee attack, there's a chance that you'll get a power up that'll like recover your HP to full, or have a little mini game at the end of the battle where you can gamble.
Let's address that game.
Okay.
Whenever you are offered to gamble,
yes.
Did you do it
every time?
Megan, Nicole.
I maybe did it some of the time.
Nicole.
I don't remember. Probably not.
You never did it.
It would be very unlike me.
You never did it, and when I was playing for you and did it, you got angry at me.
That sounds like me.
It's like, I could have had coins. Well, you had a chance to get double coins. I didn't get double coins. I got no coins because you fucked up.
I like to think that it all just, I think you're good to go all the way, one or the other, right? Because if you do it none of the time, everything's fine. If you do it all the time, it's probably going to even out to where you didn't do it at all.
That's true. But let's see. I like that every weapon will look different. Everyone basically has three different types of weapons, and the animation for the timed hits or the damage is different because Mario has hammers, gloves, and shells.
Mm-hmm.
So each one, you have to time each one differently.
Right.
Jumps, too.
Jumps like a special move.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And every character has their own set of special moves too.
Every alternating between like a physical attack and a magical attack.
And what I think is really interesting, and I didn't remember this from the first time I played it, is that you use flower points to use your special abilities, mm-hmm. and each character doesn't have their own pool of flower points. The party shares it. Mm-hmm. Which is a mechanic that I'm not used to.
I've never seen that in any other game.
I think it's interesting. I'm curious why they chose that. Maybe it's because the special attacks are pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they felt like if every character had their own pool of flower points, that would be all every character did was mm-hmm. a special move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we'd been asked earlier by somebody on an earlier episode about our final parties in RPGs. And we never really had the chance to talk about it because every RPG we've played has been your final parties decided for you or you're only like one or two people. But I think this is the first one where you have the option to have a different party.
And switch out party members. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that's a big deal, especially considering you can only have three characters in
mm-hmm.
combat,
mm-hmm.
Which normally I don't really like, but it works in this game, and it works in Chrono Trigger. I can't think of really any other RPG where I've been happy with just three characters.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was probably the same as yours.
Yeah, who were your favorite party to have?
It was probably the same as yours.
Yeah.
Mario, Peach, and Bowser.
Mm-hmm. Or she's Toadstool in this game. This was before she was...
Bowser's made the switch. He's made the switch from King Koopa to Bowser, mm-hmm. but Princess hasn't made the switch yet mm-hmm. to Peach. That's also my final party. I don't have really anything interesting to add.
That was the same that I used to.
Oh, yeah.
See, as much as I love the other characters, you just can't beat Mario, Princess, and Bowser.
Well, because Princess is the healer.
Far and away the best healer. Like,
right.
Mallow is a decent healer, but nothing in the game beats her group hug ability. Well, period.
And they're iconic.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
they're supposed to, like, you're supposed to make that party. I don't know.
And you don't get, I mean, that might be why you get Mallow and Geno early. You get them before Bowser and Toadstool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish that you could play as Toad because he is one of my favorites. I mm-hmm. love Toad.
He's in the game. He's panicking most of the time.
And he's like Kappa in Final Fantasy 3/6. Because like he'll give you little tutorials throughout. Anytime you need to be taught something, mm-hmm. he'll come out on the screen and tell you how to do it.
Remember, so. I'd gotten the majority of all the frog coins in the game. But there is one that I would always miss, and Toad, you have to use Toad in order to get it.
Explain the frog coins to me, because I don't know what the frog coins... I mean, I've collected a few. What the fuck do you do with them?
You use those to buy special, super powerful items at Tadpole Pond.
Where do you buy them from?
There's a tad. When you go up to the water, a tadpole will swim up to you.
Is that the one who always tells you about the music to play?
There's another one on the other side.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He'll want to see your membership card, and then he'll offer you, like, the best one being a Carol Carol Cola, which is basically an item that does group hug.
Okay. I've got one of those. It's a mega elixir.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
It doesn't bring you to full, but it's pretty good.
This game has a lot of mini games.
It does have a ton of mini games.
I don't like any of them.
I hate all the log flumey games.
Yeah, there's the log flume. There's the shitty cart, the shitty mine cart. There is the tadpole Mario Paint sound composer.
I like that one.
Todovsky? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I had to use a guide for that. Like, there's no way I would have figured out any of that shit.
It's the reason I don't like it is because it's just a matter of figuring out one note. Because, like, before going in, this tadpole swims up and is like, hey, I got a favorite song. You want to know what it is? Sure, tadpole.
Do, re, re, mi, do, so, far, mi.
Exactly. Oh. So I write all those down, and then I go over to the next area where there are lines gridded out, kind of like in the Olympics when they do swimming, and there's different lanes. Or like sheet music, where you swim it, you know, like you do, and they little tadpoles will appear. You tell them where to show up. They'll swim, and then you tell them when to stop. And if one of those tadpoles happens to line up with the melody that you're trying to play, it will stop and you know that note is right.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have like one note that you know is right, it's pretty, I mean, you just deduce what the rest of them are. Cause it's like, it's do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Like that's all you gotta know. It's just a pain in the ass because it's like, okay, well now I just have to like take 3 minutes to decrypt this.
And you have to do it a lot to get everything for that section of the game. There are a lot of those favorite songs for people and stuff you have to figure out. I mean, I did it at one point. Like, I've gotten 100% completion on this game, and except for that one frog coin. But because, like, at the very beginning of the game where Mac the Knife comes down, there's one point where Toad runs as fast as he can through the front door. If you can jump on his head, then you can jump on the archway of the door, and there's a frog coin up there. But only when he runs up that one time, that's the only chance you have to get that frog coin. It was so frustrating to me.
Do you need all the frog coins to buy all the stuff?
No.
Okay.
No.
You just wanted it.
You can collect infinite frog coins if you do that one barrel game where you're falling down the waterfall and dodging side to side. Ugh. You can always get frog coins there. They're just super frustrating.
Mac the Knife is a funny name for
I didn't get it until Dave told me knife. Like a few years ago what it was.
Sinatra song. Mac the
Knife. You act like I should know.
You should know. You should.
I'd never really heard a Frank Sinatra song until I dated that girl from Virginia, and she made me a mixed CD with a Sinatra song on it.
But true story, while we were on a cruise with Tyler's parents.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler got pulled up on stage for like a trivia.
How'd that go?
Me, my brother, and like
some strange lady.
Yeah,
stranger. No, she wasn't strange. She was a stranger.
She's probably not listening. We can call her strange if we want.
And then it was one of the things I needed to do was just name Frank Sinatra songs, and I thought, oh, Tyler's boned. No, he pulled some Frank Sinatra songs out of his ass.
Well, because like I was winning the trivia, and the old lady complained. About like, because it was mostly like movie and TV questions, and I was getting all those, and she was like, "You don't have any Sinatra questions." She was grumbling about it, and then the host is like, "Okay, well, name a Frank Sinatra hit," and I immediately buzzed in and stole it from her. Oh, that lady was pissed.
With New York, New York.
So I won and got a bottle of champagne and a little golden cruise ship statue.
Ship on a stick.
I think I'm trying to think who I don't even know who wrote Mac the Knife. I think Sinatra covered it.
Is it Bobby Darin?
I know Bobby Darin sang it. I don't know if he wrote it.
Hmm.
And honestly, the only reason I know who Bobby Darin is because of Bioshock.
Yep,
it's truth.
Kevin Spacey did a Bobby Darin biopic.
I haven't seen it. Was it good?
Yeah.
I didn't even know. I mean, as far as I know, Kevin Spacey is Bobby Darin. I don't even know what he looks like.
And then there was one. the most frustrating mini game in this whole game for me. And like I built it up to Nicole, like this game is so hard.
Oh, it's the worst. I know where you're going with this.
I did it for years. Oh. What happened, Nicole?
I did it the first time.
Yeah, she did.
Are we talking about the same game? Are you talking about the Goomba thumping minigame?
No.
Oh, because that is the worst fucking minigame in the game. What game are you talking about, Nicole?
It was a race, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the race. Yoshi race?
When you race against Boshi.
Oh!
Yeah.
And it's... I feel like that is a complete and total lie because they're like, well, the game is lying to you, not you guys. They're lying to me. The game is like, I just hit the buttons within the rhythm. Is that right? Like, because like, I feel like I play a lot of rhythm games. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I was in band for like years and years and years. I feel like I know what rhythm is. And it's like, I'm
pressing. Well, it's gonna get you. That's all I know about it.
The rhythm is gonna get you.
That's a good cruise song.
Let's go. Yeah. You know what? So many songs are good cruise songs.
I feel like I was doing, like, I was pressing the buttons in time, but. Nothing, like, it wasn't working.
I mean,
how'd you do it?
She knocked that shit out, no problem, yeah. I spent months, I beat this game and I would go back to Boshi and do it over and over until I would rage quit, come back a few days later, do it again until I rage quit. Like, it took me months to do this.
But Tyler, to be fair,
I have no sense of rhythm whatsoever.
These rhythm parts of games you are no fan of. But you are no fan of.
But I'm going to argue that that's not the case here. Unless I just don't understand the mechanics of this game. I don't know. Nicole, will you play the role of my big brother and come over to my house and beat Boshi for me?
So even the song is like, I remember listening to it and being like, I hear he's hitting cymbals at some point, and then like I get lost in the whistles and try to remember to eat cookies. Man, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I think it's next to the Goomba thumping.
I do not remember that being hard.
Mm. I do remember. It's, yeah, you were just going on and on about how difficult it was.
And you were like, I think you ate one cookie at the end because you were just like, Boshi was like struggling, and you were just like, oh, okay, well.
Can we take just a moment to talk about Boshi? Has Boshi ever returned in a game? Like, do you know? Have you seen him again?
Nope.
I
mean, you can be a blue Yoshi in other games, but the iconic badass Roy Orbison sunglasses.
Oh no, man. They're like these radical 90s sunglasses. Like the time, like
they're
the
not Roy Orbison.
They come up with like points. They kind of look like half of Electro's mask, but as shades. He's pretty cool. He's pretty cool. And he won't race you unless you have cookies.
Yeah.
Also very cool. Pretty cool guy.
All the other Yoshis, they speak Yoshi, but you have to be on Yoshi to understand them. Otherwise, they just go, pew!
Right.
But Boshi's, he's super bass.
That's how you know he's badass.
The reward for beating Boshi's pretty good, though, because then little Yoshis will hatch, and they shit red essences, which are items that make you invincible.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
What's up with that one Yoshi who's always like, hey, man, do you think you can beat Boshi today? Yeah, sure. I mean, I didn't the last 15 times. Here, take my cookies. Do you get cookies from anywhere else or just Yoshi?
I think just that one Yoshi.
That guy, like, I hope he, like, shows up at the end of the game and he's like, man, I had so many cookies. And, like, you see his starving family, like, on the ground.
But you done beat Boshi, though. Yeah.
He's just keeping them alive with red essences. It's like, I don't have cookies, guys, but we have these now.
You're hungry, but you won't die. Oh, man.
Can I talk about the Goomba thumping?
Yeah.
Because
I
think that's the worst minigame in the game. It's like a whack-a-mole where you've got four pipes. And they place you, a mole is like, stand in the center. Okay. you pay him money, and he yells at you to stand in the center. And then these Goombas pop up.
The moles are really bossy.
can we talk about Goombas, by the way? That's racist, isn't it? Like, when did, like, Nintendo be like, oh, that's okay. We're just gonna call them Goombas. It's fine. It's fine, really. No, it's fine. We're still going to do it. It's years and years later, we're still going to do it. I'm pretty sure it's racist.
They're Japanese. They didn't really understand.
Yeah, but they censor out butt cracks and stuff in all their other games. But this, they're like, you know what? We hate Italians, Goombas. It's in. It's canon. So you stand in the middle, and there's these four pipes. And out of these pipes emerge one of three things. It's either going to be a Goomba or a spiny turtle or a golden Goomba. And you get 1 point for every Goomba you jump on. Mm-hmm. You get 3 points for every golden Goomba you jump on. And you lose a point for every spiny turtle you you land on.
Landed on every spiny turtle.
All of this is great, right? Like, all of this sounds great. But then you get into this, like, the weirdest and most awful platforming experience in the game. Maybe in any Mario game ever, where you're frantic. Like, these are popping out, like, I mean, really fast. Really fast, especially the golden Goombas. And they're the ones that you want, because mm-hmm. they give you the most points. So all this is happening really fast. And, like, I'm fighting this awful platforming mechanic where it's just like jump and I like jump on the tube, but like I'm maybe not exactly right.
You're just on the edge.
I'm not on like the exact center of the tube, and then it's like, oh, I gotta jump again. And by the time I'm in the air, Goomba's the Goomba's gone and the spiny turtle's out. Yep. So it's like, oh my god, this is the worst.
I did that a lot when I was young. My last playthrough of it, fuck that. But whenever I was young and I had the time and dedication. Because you have to get max out your flower points. You have to do that. And there's our frog coins and stuff like that from it, too. So I did it till I was... You have to master basically being able to jump from center of the pipe to center of the pipe.
I was trying to do that.
It's hard to do, but...
And that's... when I was doing that mini game was when I realized this is the second reason that I hated this game when I first played it. Because I spent so much time on the mini games and didn't enjoy them. Mm-hmm. What I should have done was played them until I was like... I hate this, and then just move on instead of just like dwelling on it. Or it's like, gotta finish it, gotta finish it. So,
good thing there weren't achievements back then, because man.
Oh, that would have been like the perfect storm for like freshman high school me. Yeah, you bet.
Let's see. I remember one of the more obscure things you can get is going to Great Guys Casino.
I've heard about that, but I don't really even know what that is.
Outside of a guide, I would have never known how to get there. Because in Booster's Tower, once you clear that area and go back, you can find Great. I think maybe it's a Great Guy on one of the floors, just standing in a corner, and he wants to play a game called Look the Other Way. And he counts to three, and he points in one direction or the other, and you just have to turn to look the other way.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to win that like 50 times, and he'll give you a ticket to Great Guys Casino. And to access Great Guys Casino, you have to go to this monster part of the game way later and go to like one pipe and jump four times, and then it makes another pipe pop up that takes you to Great Guys Casino.
So this is really one of, like, you weren't kidding when you're like, you need a guide.
Yeah, I don't see how, like, you would know about this.
I'm up with, I'm to the point where you have to jump on the pipe four times for no reason. Like, I'm on board until then, yep. But then it's just like, oh, okay, well, I guess, how did anyone find that? It's like the gray key in Adventure. How did anyone find that?
I have no idea. There's probably like some obscure character somewhere that tells you, you know, hints about what to do. But when you actually get to Great Guys Casino, then it's interesting because you can play slots with treasure boxes and stuff like that. And Great Guys there. It's an interesting part of the game, but super fucking obscure.
What do you win at the casino?
Money.
Just coins?
Mm-hmm.
So nothing
coins,
like...
and you can get some like items.
Okay.
Like powerful mushrooms and syrups and stuff like that. But let's see. How good were you guys at Mario's jumping? Like his special ability where, because normally all his abilities are throwing fireballs or jumping.
Pretty good.
And the actual jumping, like I was super frustrated with that.
Like his special move or like the jumping when you move around?
His special jump. Because if you, right before he lands, you can press it again and he'll jump again.
He'll just keep jumping.
And press it again and keep jumping. And that's how you get the most powerful item in the game.
I could do like a chain of like 5 or 6 jumps.
See, but to get the best item in the game, you have to do 50.
Well, that's for
it's really, fucking really crazy. Because
like, you do it on any enemy or
on any enemy. There's a guy in Monstro Town who keeps count of how many jumps you've had.
Yeah,
and when you get to 50, he'll give you the most powerful item in the game, the red jacket. But like, I've never ever like I think the highest I've gotten is 27, and like the pattern just completely breaks down. I have no clue like how you keep your rhythm and sequence after that. Like, it just doesn't, it completely falls apart.
I have a confession to make. didn't know that you could hit to keep doing the timed attacks to make him keep jumping.
Mm-hmm. There
no
you go.
Idea. Had no idea.
Go home and have a different experience now.
Yeah, because I don't use Mario's special. Like, I just, because, like, I mean, his fucking regular attack just one shots, has like one shot at every enemy I've fought. Yeah. So, like, my whole thing is Mario will attack, Bowser will attack, and then Mallow just AoE lightnings. And then one round, everything's mm-hmm. dead. And that's at, like, at level 11. I can't remember what level I was when I beat this game when I was a kid, but it can't have been like a super high level because I didn't grind a lot.
I think like maybe 26, 25, 26.
That's like really
that I beat the game.
That makes me feel better because I was playing it and I was like, I'm really low level. And it's like, I know I'm about halfway through the game. Maybe I should be like a higher level, but I'm not.
Mm-mm. Let's see, because I want to try to keep it to the half that you've been at. Talk about one the half this week and then the other half next week.
I haven't really even talked about the story much at all. I mean, and how are we on time? I mean,
we're pretty close.
I mean, we can just
an hour.
We can just do story next time. I mean, we talked a lot about all mechanics and the shitty mini games.
Do you recall the Final Fantasy callback?
Are you talking about the crystal that you fight?
Well, there's the whole Final Fantasy music. Like, you hear the crystal theme and the battle theme.
Yeah,
with this one special battle you could access.
Kulex?
Yes, Kulex.
Yeah. He's a crystal, right?
He's surrounded by crystals.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I remember fighting him, and all I remember about it was the crystals, I guess.
I mean, God, when we found that, Josh and I lost our minds. Thought it was, like, the coolest thing we'd ever seen. Oh, my God. And Kulex is, like, far and above the most difficult boss in the game. Like, unless I've never been able to beat him without having the best armor in the game on Princess.
Yeah.
Which basically makes her invincible. So most of the time when I've been through Kulex, it'll be just Princess alive, healing herself, waiting for Kulex to run out of flower points so then you can kill him. Because he was so incredibly difficult.
Yeah. That's how I beat him as well.
But I thought it was a fun callback since it's a Square and Nintendo game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's interesting that it really feels more like a Nintendo game to me than a Square game. It's a perfect blend, I feel like. You know, like they did it in a way that I didn't feel like Square was overpowering it, which I think could have easily happened considering that it's an RPG. I also want to say that I think maybe my really good feelings about the game this time through might be because we just played Secret of Mana, which I remembered fondly as a kid, but when I replayed it, really didn't have a super great time. Mm-hmm. And then this game follows up and it pleasantly surprised me.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, Nicole. I really, God, I felt really good about it too because I was like, man, Tyler and Josh are just going to love this game and I'm going to be like the only person who's like, you know what? I don't think it's that great. And we're going to have Nicole and I know she really didn't enjoy it. I didn't know you flat out hated it.
Yeah, it was awful. I was really miserable.
I want to talk more about that because I feel like we haven't like given you the opportunity to gripe about the game a lot.
And I mean, a lot of it's not like your complaints aren't valid. I agree and totally see with a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean,
you're in a safe place. You could share.
I feel like I'm gonna get a lot of hate for.
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think so.
Well. We talked about how you can avoid the enemies. You can see them and you can avoid them,
mm-hmm.
in theory.
Right.
In theory. And this is where, like, my comparison with, like, Earthbound, where you can see them and if you walk away from them, they're going to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was much better because with Mario, I would see them and try to avoid them and not be able to avoid them. And it was really frustrating.
Like, it was nonsensical. Like, they're not going to attack you unless you touch them, but you can't not touch them.
Right. And then going to the battle on the separate screen, I really hated that. And I hated it because it got to the point where it was just adding on more frustration because it was like, walk two steps, separate screen battle, come back, walk two steps, separate screen battle. And I feel like I couldn't get across a screen without that. And it just made it not fun.
Yeah, that's always been a big complaint of mine, like for RPG dungeons. Like, because at least in Super Mario RPG, I felt like I didn't get lost in the dungeon. But like in a lot of games that have a lot of encounters, like in Final Fantasy II, for example, the very last dungeon is so long and there's so many random encounters that when it would change screens and then change back after a long battle, it'd be like, all right, well, did I come from this way or was mm-hmm. I going this way mm-hmm. kind of deal.
And in Mario RPG, the enemies are usually really large. Like, I remember the lizards being, like, the size of four Mario. And they're just, like, all over the place. And there's no way you can jump or walk or anything. You're going to have to fight just about every single one of them.
That's my favorite unit of measurement, by the way. Mario. The Mario. I like it.
It's four Mario's wide.
Equal equals one lizard.
One lizard.
Because there was several times whenever I would get like halfway across the screen and I'd feel like I'd done like a dozen battles and I just was just sick of it.
Yeah, I instigate a lot of battles. I feel like I'm so compulsive about it that I don't feel like I've played the game right unless I've fought every enemy in the dungeon.
I really enjoyed the star when you would rarely get a star out of a treasure box in this game because then you could just run to an enemy, they automatically die, no separate screen, and you could walk through four of them and you just gain level.
Right.
It was great. I do like that you get a little bit of control over your character, how they specialize, because once they level up, you see their stats go up, and then you have the option of further increasing attack, magic, or hit points. Mm-hmm. Although each character basically does fall into like a class type that you're gonna wanna build on there. Making up for their weakness is never really that good. You just want to build on their strength. Like, is Bowser's magic? No, right. Never. Not going to use Bowser's magic. No point in ever investing anything into magic for Bowser, period. He has fewer spells, and they suck.
Bowser never had anyone that believed in him and his magic abilities.
I
believe in his claws.
I fucking love Bowser in this game because I feel like the reason I was asking you why you like Geno, I kind of thought Geno was a little flat.
Yeah.
I don't think they developed him enough. Was like Bowser got all of that. Like because Bowser, like you see him periodically before he joins your party and he's crestfallen because his castle has been taken over. And then you see like each time you see him he has like less minions until you finally meet him by himself. He has no minions left. And he is having like it's a really dark time for Bowser.
Such a dark time. Yeah,
and he's like kind of giving himself a pep talk. He's feeling down, and then you playing Mario walk up and he sees you. And like he has this dilemma where it's like, he's like so prideful that he's like, well, I gotta, you know, pretend like everything's okay. And then you have this like interesting back and forth. And then finally, he lets you join him.
Yeah. Join the Koopa troop.
Right. Which I thought was really cool. Like, I thought they did a great job with Bowser. Yeah. And that was, even when I played it the first time, like, that was what I was most excited about, mm-hmm. was because they took this villain, and, I mean, I really think they made him likable. Mm-hmm. Because, like, they played to his flaws so well to the point where it became charming, almost. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really nice.
Because he's different from, like, say, the Mario Party Bowser, who's clearly chaotic evil and right. awful. As opposed to this Bowser, who's like, you feel like he's more misunderstood.
He's goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's misguided, goofy. I liked it a lot.
Well, we're pretty far. We can talk about the story next week.
That sounds good. Nicole, are you going to be back next week?
Sure.
All right. Good. I feel like, I always feel like I don't give you enough opportunity to talk on the show. So I might sit out next time. And we can have Meg and Josh. It'll be Tyler, Meg, Josh, and you.
And we just need to give Nicole about two ciders, two strawberry ales. She'll be pretty talkative.
I think that's a good idea. I don't want, I don't think you're going to receive any hate. This is a hate-free zone. Talk freely. We get hate. Tyler and I get hate for not liking Uniracers, but that's about it.
It's okay if, like, I don't check social media very often anyway. So I'll be good.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about part two of Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars. Story emphasis.
Mainly so that I can finish the game. For no other reason.
And then Other Ship Monday, we'll probably continue Ready Player One series. Probably do Tempest.
Sounds good.
David and I played some Tempest.
Kinda. We kinda did.
Yeah. We'll get into that next week. Thanks, you guys, for coming on. Appreciate it. Yes. Meg, you look like you're about to fall asleep.
I'm going to turn into a pumpkin.
Well, she's the pinch hitter. You might turn into a scarecrow. That's a Super Mario RPG.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
You know how you can help us out, listener, Tadpog Nation? We love 5-star iTunes reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Help us out so much.
For every iTunes review you leave, we get $500. We never shared that with you.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, iTunes keeps
it. Obama takes most of it, though.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama, taking our five-star review.
Your war against iTunes and coal. Today was election day, by the way. Like just,
oh, they already announced the winners.
Oh, they did? Oh, I haven't.
Gene looks sour. Yeah, so we're still with Mitch.
Oh, boy, we got Mitch, huh?
Yeah. We got Mitch. We sure did.
Damn it, Kentucky. He has been a senator my entire life.
Oh, God. Term limits, why?
By what margin?
It was close. It was like 40. I think Allison had like 46. Mm-hmm. But they called it super early because mm-hmm. voting ended at Louisville and Lexington, the big urban centers. And Mitch took that. And once he took those, it was over. It was over.
He won in both those areas?
Man, I feel so important that I voted
today. It was all.
Yeah. They just gave up.
Like, I got up on my day off and went and voted. I voted for Sean Miller for Justice of the Peace for our area. I hope he won.
You wrote him in?
I wrote him in.
I wanted to text you and be like, who are you writing in for this? Because there was no option. It was just straight up.
No one wants me Justice of the Peace in Kentucky.
It's like, I wanted to write in me? ? And then, like, I had this elaborate, like, news story I'd built up in my mind all day where they're like, Norman me won the election. It's like, everyone voted me. And they just called him up. Like, he's working at, like, Pizza by the Pound or something. He's like, hello. And they're like, guess what? You're in politics now. Come on. We got an office for you and everything.
You're the Justice of the Peace. What does that do? We don't know. No one's ever been it before.
You marry people. Justice of the Peace marries people.
Is that what they do?
Yeah.
I'm so glad that I, like, I vote for things that I don't know.
Man, I wonder how much that makes. I want to run for that. That'd be my new job.
It's like, yeah, who do you call? Be like, I'll do that thing that no one wanted to do. And like, I would love to like run a whole campaign of like paper commercials and advertising, and it's just like me shrugging. Question mark? Why not?
Me? Question mark?
What do you need? A podcaster? A justice of the peace? I'll do it all.
Chandelier. Oh.
Yeah, but we didn't want those five-star iTunes reviews.
We're from Kentucky, by the way. In case you didn't pick up on that.
But now, what, Mitch McConnell's the most powerful person in the Senate? Thanks. All right. Five-star iTunes reviews. We need them. We're stuck with Mitch McConnell for a few more years, so please help us out. Give us five-star iTunes reviews.
We need sympathy reviews at this point.
So just five stars. Hey, we're sorry about Mitch McConnell. Mm-hmm. Here's a game for you to play, and then we'll get to that. If there's an episode that you know that's coming up and you want a certain guest host, say that.
Want us to run for Justice of the Peace? Let us know.
Register to vote in Kentucky, and we'll be, Dave and I could be co-Justices of the Peace. We have to make sure we get the exact same number of votes. Oh, that's it.
We'll get to all of that stuff. All of it.
Oh, yeah.
Eventually.
Sorry. I was just thinking about Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell, I know. Just completely. We might not even have an episode tomorrow. Honestly, I don't know what the point is of just living anymore. Don't worry, guys. You can always find us on tadpog.com if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness. If we don't publish another episode, you'll know why. And you can just go back to tadpog.com and just have at least 200 hours of audio that you can sift through for as long as our domain stays registered, which will be the end of this year. So you might want to like download as much as you can right now. You can also find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there, and they're doing a lot of cool shit. Tyler will normally do a post. Sometimes art appears in the post, and sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes it doesn't.
And it's like, I don't know what Facebook's deal is. Like, I've done research on this. It's just a bug, apparently. I remember when I was doing the Facebook post, it was the same kind of, like, I would have to, like, post the URL, like, 8 times, and, like, switch accounts between Tadpog and my personal account, and then one would finally stick and be like, all right, we're going with that. But now you can't even switch. It's just, you have to, like, do it as Tadpog. So sometimes there's art in the post, sometimes there's not. That's a good place if you have a comment to leave about the show. That's a good place for it. You can find us on Twitter. We're at tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. I talk more often on there now. So tweet at me and see what happens. I've had a great conversation with Chandra. She is, this because of Tadpog, she has decided to start playing Earthbound.
Yeah. I always said if I just got one, then it was all there, worthwhile.
There you go. Does that, that offsets Mitch McConnell a little bit.
A little bit. A little bit. That almost offsets it.
You want to know the best part? In the beginning where it asks for favorite thing, she put Tadpog. She put Tadpog.
Oh, that's so nice.
I think, do we have a title for Chandra?
For Chandra? No, I don't think we do.
We need to come up with one. Because that is some serious shit right there.
Also, she knit our baby a hat with a beard.
I know.
That's true.
So,
which we are going to pass on. It should have been in your basket.
Oh, I'm inheriting the beard?
You are. You already have it.
Head is too large and my wiener's too small for that.
Your baby, Dave.
I don't know. I think your wiener could support a beard. I don't know.
Have you seen? That's like the size of a baby's head, man.
I never said your dick looked normal.
I never said it didn't look like a baby.
It just looks, your dick looks like a plunger. Like it's just thin. There's like a massive ending and a beard.
I just like to think that it's like a full baby with just like its foot goes into my body.
Oh, no.
It's really disturbing when I pee. It's like something out of Dante's Inferno.
Stop. Just,
I can't remember what I was talking about. You can call us if you want.
Yeah.
You can call us at 270-883-2555. Leave us a voicemail. Keep it to 3 minutes. Ask a question. That's great. You can also text if you want.
Impersonate a character.
Yeah, impersonate a character.
Fishless Jay loves doing that.
Yeah. Come up with a new character, Fishless Jay. Let's have a whole
who else in your office is grumbling at you about calling Tadpog?
What about Romeo?
Yeah, Colin is, I don't know. Oh, here's a good idea. Hey, man, is there a Rap Snacks that doesn't exist that you want to exist? Let us know. We'll see. There's got to be a website on this bag. I'm sure we can email somebody. Distributed by Rap Snacks.
Rapsnacks.com.
All right.
Check out Rapsnacks.com.
I guarantee you this is the best commercial that Rap Snacks has ever had.
Let's see if we can give them a good Tadpog hug and just shut down their website. We'll just flood everybody going to Rapsnacks.com.
Well, not shut, right, yeah. We want to flood it with traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. There's like a whole thing about it on the back.
Is there a history?
No. It's like a little bio of the rapper that's on the front.
Oh, look up Romeo.
It is Lil Romeo.
Is it really?
Boom.
Is Lil Romeo.
He looks.
I know my child rappers.
There's really.
Or is it rapper? Or is it rapist?
I
know my child rapist.
I thought Lil Romeo was like had to be like in his late 20s by now.
Yeah, he is, but apparently he's still pretty baby-faced.
Yeah, he looks very young. I think they pulled an archive photo from rapper.gov.
Looks like my Lil Romeo clip art file. Just throw that up there. It's fun.
So, yeah, call us. And I guess, Chandra, we don't have a title for you yet. Maybe
let's
next episode.
We're going to think of a really good one. We'll debut it next week.
See, but that's really dangerous because we might forget altogether.
I won't let you forget.
Okay.
Chandra, I got your back, girl.
Okay, good. That's it. That's all I got, man.
Thanks again, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So how are we going to do this?
I mean, we could go the ultra not safe route and do it as Romeo. I mean, Meg's mouthing no to me. Is that because is that because we're four white people recording a podcast right now? Yeah, it is? Okay. All right. Well, I mean, look, it was just an option. I'm just throwing ideas out. Clearly, that one didn't stick. That was my idea. Come on, let's hear some more. All right, fine.
As Bowser.
I'm about to say, we could do it as Mario. Mario has a voice.
We could do it as Young Jock.
Now, how about we each take a character from Mario RPG?
Okay.
And we kind of, so there's, you know, like harmony.
Okay. I'm sure harmony will happen.
Okay, who has what character? You brought it up.
Well, I want to be Bowser.
Okay, you're Bowser. Okay. Good. Settled.
What do you want to be, Nicole?
No, I don't do voices.
You can do voices. You just can't. You're just not supposed to do Josh's voice.
No, I don't do voices.
I've heard you do an Ashley Shake voice before.
Do it. Okay. Let's pretend like
it was pretty ridiculous, but it was still a voice.
Let's pretend he's in this game and you do Ashley Shake. So we got Bowser and Ashley Shake. Tyler, who are you gonna do?
Since she's my main, I'll do Princess.
Okay.
In Smash Brothers.
And I'll do Toad because he's not a playable character, but he's in the game and I know what he sounds like.
Mm-hmm. All right. Until next time.
Capricorn!
Nicole, did you not do anything?
No, she did it. She made the voice that she does, the mouth motion that she does when she does it. So she did it.
Wait, do it again. I just see this big, like, blue, like, just blue block in the waveform right now. Man, these Romeo chips are actually pretty good. I actually like these a lot. Those honeydew curls are bullshit, though.